This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around New York City and listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and to find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, make sure you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Kareem Rama and Tiny Gunn. I'm Alisa Ali, and I'm here with Megan Suma here at WFUV. So, Megan, tell me about this New York City icon. We know him from his online presence, but he does music too.
Yeah, so Kareem is a really creative, kind of just multi-hyphenate person. He's best known for Subway Takes and Keep the Meter Running, and he also has this music project. And so he brought together this cool group of local New York City musicians, which make up Tiny Gunn, and they came with him to the station. Everybody played, everybody sat down to chat. It's a really funny and lighthearted interview, which I think is to be expected, given just his very like warm, welcoming personality and his genuinely hilarious sense of humor. So we had a great time, and I was really excited to get the chance to talk to him.
And what is the first song that we're going to get into today?
This is Kareem Rama and Tiny Gunn in FUV's Studio A in the Bronx with New Year, New York.
New Year, New York. I don't need anybody. No need to pretend. Let's go and leave the party. I don't want to make friends with anybody. If you could believe a new year in New York. Everyone I know says move to LA. I'm the mid-30s sucker left on Avenue Way. Everyone I know says move to LA. I stayed. My friend said it's cool when you find the right scene, but in Silver Lake it's hard to see what you mean. Call your boy Lucien, we'll never get old again. The city always loves you when you're texting too late. West Coast only tells you that it's time to lose weight. Every first date has got me feeling my age, and I fall in love on every L train. Don't need California, I'm already okay. Whatever pill you've got, it's a little too late. Don't tell me what you think I meant. I'm never going home again. New Year, New York, I don't need anybody. No need to pretend. Let's go and leave the party. I don't want to make friends with anybody. If you could believe a new year in New York. Everyone I know says move to LA. Houses are bigger when the weather's great. The text of me stopped on the interstate. I'll stay. New York City, nothing seems to go my way. My girl just sent a text that she's got a bail. Said she can't make it, but her train is late. Sure blame the MTA delays. New Year, New York, I don't need anybody. No need to pretend. Let's go and leave the party. Been here too long, it's all my fault. New Year, New York, I don't need anybody. No need to pretend. Let's go and leave the party. I don't want to make friends with anybody. If you could believe a new year in New York. If you could believe.
That That was Kareem Rama and Tiny Gun with New Year New York for FUV Live Sessions in Studio A. For those of you listening, you might know Kareem from his creative content like Keep the Meter Running, where he hops in the back of yellow cabs and has the driver take him to their favorite places in New York City, like, for example, a Buffalo Wild Wings in College Point, Queens, or Subway Takes, where he interviews people on the subway to get their absurd, provocative, and hilarious takes, like We Should All Ban Cemeteries and Shoot Dead People into Space, which was one of my personal favorites. Luckily for us, Kareem also happens to make music, which is what we're here to talk about today. And Kareem, you're not alone. So can you talk to me about Kareem and Tiny Gun and who we're joined by here in the studio today?
We're joined by the greatest band that's ever played New York City rock and roll, Tiny Gun.
I'm inclined to agree.
I'll let the fellas introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Tyler. I play guitar.
Hi, I'm Matt. I play bass.
I'm Dale, the drummer.
I'm Joe. I also play guitar.
You two have been friends for a while. Can you talk to me a little bit about how Kareem and Tyler went from being coworkers, friends, to creative partners?
Yeah, Tyler and I have known each other for probably 12 years now. He was one of my only friends in New York City when I moved from Minneapolis in 1995, just kidding, in 2012. And he had always been a musician deep in the music scene. I used to go to his shows a lot. He had a band called Motion Studies. He had another duo thing called Soft Lit. And I was very impressed by his work ethic and output. And then, you know, like we kind of stopped talking for like 10 years or something.
Sometimes you're in and out, you're like, you're doing your own thing. I'm doing like everyone, yeah.
But I think the New York friendships, there's an understanding where it's like, we're friends, but we don't have to talk for another decade. And so—
Especially if you live in different boroughs.
Oh, and I think we were in the same borough. Tyler, I don't even know where Tyler was. He was like living in a hole in Williamsburg, which was also the studio. I think it was called The Hole.
It was not called The Hole, but I was working in a studio in Williamsburg.
I just said, hey, I want to make a song.
Yeah. And it started like you were just like, I don't know what I want this to be. Like we did a Halloween song.
The inspiration was to be like a cool, funny, like Lonely Island, like a rock and roll Lonely Island.
Sure.
Like make funny songs.
Sure.
And we did funny songs. We did.
I saw there was one in your catalog literally called Michael Barbaro.
Yep.
Who, for those of you who don't know him, is the— what is he? He's now the host of The Daily.
He's the famed podcaster
and host of The Daily. He's the famed podcast of the New York Times daily podcast, The Daily.
I just thought it would be funny to make a song about a guy that is not really famous at all.
Yeah.
But his name is fun to say. And that's also when Tyler and I were writing a double album, and one was called I Am Not a Rock Star, and the other one was called I Am Not a Rapper, and each was an album filled with rap songs and an album filled with rock songs. So this was very conceptual art. And we also made a song about Hezbollah, the small man from Dagestan. That is also simply called Hezbollah. And New Year New York was the first song that we wrote that was like slowly creeping towards a sincerity.
Uh-huh.
Would you agree?
We were texting about— I think I texted you from an LCD sound system show. I was like, we should be writing— like, I want to write a song like that. It's like, you own the city. And it was nice because it was— the song kind of had a bit, but not really. And it was the first time like, oh, like, and for you, like, it looks good on you to do this more kind of like sincere rock music. And I was like, oh, yeah, this feels great. And I think you felt the same way. We're like, this is really nice to not be like, wink, wink, it's a joke.
Yeah.
Although I do think you do have people who text you about Michael Barbaro.
Michael Barbaro is a literal fan favorite.
Does he know that there's a song about him?
Very much so.
He responded to the tweets.
How does he— I'm just curious. How does he feel about it?
He's happy.
He loves
ecstatic.
It. Yeah.
He's just a guy with a song. I just also had this moment where I was like, not everything has to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had made so many funny things, I think. And this was just a way to be like, express myself in another way. Like,
yeah.
In a more— not serious, you know, because it's still a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but—
earnest?
Yeah, earnestness, you know, not hide behind the facade of the comedy world.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like a good segue into something I was really curious about. You're obviously clearly a multi-hyphenate who is interested in lots of things, curious about a lot of things. So how do all of the different things that you're doing kind of cross paths and feed into each other? Like, you're working on this creative content. You put out a movie last year, I think, that you produced and starred in.
It was co-starred, co-wrote,
or something.
Yeah.
And then you're also working on this music project, Kareem Rama and Tiny Gun.
Sometimes they have nothing to do with each other. I'd say that the only reason I'm able to do any of the things is because of like close collaborators and the people that I work with. Like, I literally could not make any music. I actually don't know how to play music, and I don't know how to do anything with an instrument at all. So it would be impossible for me to have a band. I would have to be a rapper with a producer, Tyler.
I don't know, just like we're not, where the rap's been put
to bed.
That's the
next album.
Or no, it's next. Maybe it's next.
Uh-huh.
The rap is back.
I'm ready.
After we did New Year, New York, I think, did Dale come and play drums on that song? Or was that Really Rich Parents? Yeah. So Dale came in, played Really Rich Parents, played the drums, and then the whole band kind of was formed out of your old relationships.
Yeah. Well, you were like, let's book a show. And I was like, I got guys. And it was very fun. Like, it's actually, there's a photo from, I think, 2012, where we're playing our first show in our other band, and Dale and Kareem are in the audience at that first show. So before we were a band, there's like a photo of all of us in the same room. Matt and Joe were in my old band, Motion Studies. Dale, I've known for a long time from the same label we were on. So it was fun to just bring people together. And it was also very like post-COVID, a lot of our musical projects had not been playing live. So we were all like really excited to get on stage again and just kind of do something. Yeah, kind of a new character to these songs that were very much kind of like collaborations in a studio where we're just, it was like pre-recorded loops, you know, stuff like that. So
yeah. Does everybody kind of share this love of all things New York City hype related?
Yes, 1,000%.
Tell me more about this. Why do you love New York City?
New York is it's really fast. It's the only city that I can't keep up with. It feels like, that's what I like about it, the pace. I feel like you wouldn't be able to do, is especially like Kareem, you know, having so many projects, you wouldn't be able to do the density of the talent here is just so much greater, and it moves so much faster. And that's what I like about it. It's just the pace, really.
Yeah. And Dale, since I have you on mic, talk to me about kind of like how you felt when did Tyler reach out to you, or did Kareem reach out to you? You guys already knew each other.
I didn't know Dale.
We kind of, I mean, as acquaintances, but yeah, Tyler reached out to me, and we recorded the Really Rich Parents song, and it was just, the energy was really great. I remember recording the song, I couldn't hear Kareem, and Tyler was like, let me put Kareem back in the mix, because I was like responding really well to his voice, and it just, I don't know, there was something kind of magical about that, the way the music was just very cohesive from the get-go. It just felt really natural, and it was really, really fun.
You know, you asked about the overlap. I just realized, like I have Subway Takes Live, which is a live version of Subway Takes, and Tiny Gun is the house band. So it's like there is some cross-pollination. And actually, we put a song in the movie. And sometimes Dale will, like, mix and edit and master, I guess, my podcast. It is one of those things where, like, at my disposal now, I have music men, which I didn't have in the past. And I have a lot of, like, people who can shoot and people who can produce and people who can edit. And now I have people who can also help with the music side of things. Certainly a cross-pollination. I don't think that in anywhere outside of New York City, I could just literally be like, I can text someone and say, like, I want to make a song.
Right.
I mean, you can do it. I just don't think it would happen as fast. And I also don't think I could text another person and say, let's make a movie, and text another person and say, let's make a talk show on the train. Yeah. It is a place where I think people say yes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the only way to really have fun and enjoy the splendors that the city has to offer is to say yes a lot. And that goes for anything. That goes for like, hey, do you want to go out tonight? Hey, do you want to like go to this fashion show? I mean, I'm not trying to go to a fashion show, but if you're into that, you should say yes.
Yeah. And I feel like it's also one of the things that helps keep like the New York demons at bay. Like, this isn't the easiest place to live. A lot of things that are easier in other places are a lot harder here. So if you do get the opportunity to say yes to cool stuff and then amplify your passions in life, like, I think that's one of the great gifts of New York.
And there's one particular member of our band who's always struggling with his demons, which is Matt Morello, who plays bass.
Matt, talk to us about your New York City demons.
Well, I love them and I hate them. And that's the nature of a demon, you know. Something that's seductive and attractive at the same time, but ultimately leads you in a direction that maybe you don't want to go. You know, that's my understanding of the demonic, but...
I think we need a song called The Demon.
My Demons.
I have a question, though. This is an interesting topic. I was not expecting us to talk about demons. I have nothing in my notes related to demonic forces. However, I do think that our demons are important when we're writing music, making art, whatever. Especially, we're having this conversation about, like, okay, I'm funny. I do this funny content. Now I want to be earnest. So how do our demons kind of help us be earnest?
I think the demons are, like, fairly honest people, you know? Like, I don't know. I think our music is not trying to be anything other than what it is. And, like, if we like it and we think it sounds cool, then we make it. And sometimes the songs sound a lot different. Like, our songs sound different sometimes. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know? The references change.
Well, I think people love an anti-hero. So they want somebody who can be honest about their failure and vulnerability and... That's part of what makes so many artists these days popular, I think. Just talking about reality rather than trying to put a veneer on whatever is happening, because we're kind of over the megastar pop model.
We're done with Instagram filters.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But, I don't know. I just think that, like, we really make songs based on how we feel in the moment, and we don't really overthink much. And I think the songs get better and better every time we play them and every time we get into the studio, and people add and subtract, and it's just a good, fun, optimistic time.
Yeah. In terms of, like, process, are you guys pretty diplomatically collaborating on the songwriting and the music making process?
It depends. We've had songs where it's like you've had a title and be like, I want to do this. We're writing songs now for an X record where we literally were just in the practice space. There's something that just kind of started to happen. Other ones, like, I have just instrumentals. Like, I remember a first song, I had a song I wrote, an instrumental I wrote for myself years ago that you found, and then, like, the way you sang over it, we made it into the next single.
What song was that?
Meet Me Halfway.
Oh, sick, yeah.
It was, like, I just had that, like, back pocket, like, I was playing at my desk, like, peak COVID, didn't know what it was for, and you're like, oh, I got it. And then everyone playing it, it had, like, a whole new life. Like, but so the songs start from a lot of different places. It's fun. Kareem's brain is a comedian. Like, you start with you have a very clear concept or, like, understand the rules of the world. There's a premise. Yeah. And it's fun to write that way, because sometimes other musicians, they have, like, the vibes can be a lot looser, or it's, like, sound-alikes. Like, I really want to do something like this instead of being, like, I really want the song to be about this idea.
Well, with that in mind, the second song we're going to hear is Time. So let's talk about that. Maybe give me a little bit of the backstory for this song and the process that went into creating it.
Yeah, Tyler and I were in the studio, and I think I was just like, I want to make a song that, like, references the clock, like, literally the numbers on the clock. And you had heard of, or you had mentioned that, like, some people had done this. I thought it was an original idea, but there are none. I was like, no one's done this before.
I feel bad where, I was discouraging you so much.
I wanted to say
rock
1, 2, 3.
The clock.
They don't say, I wanted to say every number, like 1, 2, 3, 4. And I think we say, like,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Is that Lou Bega? No, that's not Mambo Number 5, is it?
Yeah, yes, you know, Kareem came in who's like, the Mambos.
I want to do a cool rock and roll Mambo Number 5. And
sorry.
That's exactly what we got.
But that was fun, because, like, that was another one where we were like, okay, we know we'd played a few shows. We knew we wanted this thing in the middle that was kind of like a more of a slow burner that had this, like...
What do we call it? A cruiser.
Cruiser. Mm. You're like, I want a cruiser. And it's funny because, like, the way you'll talk about that, and I'll be like, yeah, it should sound like Noi. And you're like, what is that?
I still don't know.
Yeah, it's like that's the fun part, because, like, the way we'll talk about the songs are very different depending on who's talking about it. But yeah, we were like, you're like, I want a cruiser. And I was like, it would be really cool to have these, like, buzzy guitars. We just started doing the concept with the numbers. And then, but even then, like, we didn't figure out the bridge until we had played it as a band a number of times. And then we're like, something needs to happen here. So they're like, just working it out, it all still. But yeah, a lot of times you'll start with a text of like, here's what I want out of this. And it's fun to kind of like, all right, well, let's do it.
Yeah. And then the band throws on the sauce.
The sauce.
Yeah.
Like the secret tiny gun sauce.
My favorite part of Time is when I don't sing. That's my favorite part of the song.
Why don't we listen to it right now? It's Kareem Rama and Tiny Gun with Time for FUV Live Sessions.
It's 6:30, almost 7. I'm in your bed, like last night never ended.
all. Every hour of every minute, my desire, I'm swimming in it. I check my phone, you're never in it. Always seems it's just me. We were never meant to be. On a bench, I'm losing my mind. But I'll wait for the time that you're all mine. I'll wait for the time that you're all mine. I'll wait for the time that you're all.
Kareem Rama and Tiny Gun with Time for FUV Live Sessions. So I read a New York Times profile that was written about you. And first of all, it was a great read and seemed like a joyful, enjoyable interview. But you talk about time in it and kind of how you felt like you were running out of time. You had all of these different creative ideas and projects that you wanted to work on, but you felt like maybe it was too late. So what do you have to say for yourself now that it was clearly not too late and you're bringing so many of these things to fruition?
It is like that thought doesn't cross my mind. I'm full speed.
Full speed ahead.
I don't know when it will feel like it's time to not go full speed. I don't know actually what propels me, and I don't know if I am trying to prove something or if I'm doing it because I like it or if I'm trying to run away from my demons. I find that if I am not doing, it's like the idle hands thing. It's like if I'm not doing something, I don't think I'm in a good place. So I like to keep myself busy and I like to avoid boredom and I like to try new things. And I used to say that hobbies are my hobby because I like pick something up, try it for a little bit, say that wasn't for me, and then go on to the next hobby. So yeah, I don't know. Like I feel good. That's the thing. I feel good and satisfied and happy where things are. But like, that doesn't mean that I'm going to stop doing things.
Yeah.
Doing things feels good, right, Joe?
It feels good to do things. I think Kareem's onto something here. Time is a fossil fuel. We have to take advantage of it as much as we can.
Joe should run for president. That was a good slogan.
Okay, so you guys are, you're in the studio right now. You're making a bunch of singles. Is there a full-length album on the horizon?
Either that or another EP.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We're just trying to fill the old cuppeth.
Yeah.
With songseth.
What's inspiring? What's kind of inspiring everybody right now in terms of music making? It doesn't have to be other artists. It could be other musicians, other artists, movies, just vibes around the city, places. What's kind of inspiring you right now and what kind of ideas are you coming in with?
I don't even know. They just come out. I think it's really literally based on the day.
Mm.
Like I think if we're in the studio on Friday and like the last time we were there, I think I just had a word in my head and I just kept thinking about the word and not even what it meant. I just like the sound of the word. And then we wrote a song with like pretty much not about like just incorporating that word, you know? And it really had nothing to do with anything.
Can I ask what the word is?
Onomatopoeia.
Oh, what a great word.
I know. But I was like on the way on the train, I was like onomatopoeia would be a good song.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the material that I came in with that day. And Dale and Tyler were there and they started making sounds with things. And then I started making sounds with my mouth. And then we had a demo.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the way this has worked best is like we come in, there's usually a song out of every session. Not to overthink it, but let it be fresh and fun and not worry too much about like, was this a song we wanted to write? Like, I think a lot about this just from, again, being kind of like a slightly older member of a band. Like, I think a lot about like Guided by Voices, where it's like, once you're kind of at this place where it's like, I'm not doing this for any reason other than to have a song I'm really happy with. And I think that just like that idea of like, it's not about getting the perfect take. It's about like the fun thing is like being in a room and walking away with a song that totally surprises you. And that's kind of been the mode for this worked really well for us. Of letting the things be a surprise, like come in with like an idea, but I think like to me it's always the Guided by Voices model. Like you get in a room, document the thing, like that's to be the most exciting thing you're going to share to someone else right away.
I think a lot of people overcomplicate things, but like I think songs are like tattoos, and I think if they have more meaning, seriously, I think if they have more meaning, they suck. Mm-hmm. Like the more you think about a tattoo, the more sucky it is.
Yeah.
I think, personally. I don't know if you guys agree. Like, I like a tattoo that I got at 4 a.m. in Bushwick from Max Nelson's brother that has my name spelled incorrectly on my thigh. That's my favorite tattoo. And the one that I'm getting removed is the one that is a snake and a flower wrapped around it, which I was like, this is a good idea, but it wasn't. That's how I feel about songs.
It's fun to, like, write something and still not know what it is. It's like an air of mystery to it.
And I think it's that same like earnestness thing that you were talking about before. Like if you're going into the studio and you're kind of trying to like manipulate a song into happening as opposed to just like walking in, doing what feels good, keeping it fresh and playing, that's a pretty different experience in terms of making something.
Yeah, I think people get in their own way a lot when it comes to anything creative, you know, and I think that's a fear-based hurdle where they're worried that people won't like it or that they won't like it or that it won't stand the test of time or that it's just bad. And I think that that's part of just being a creative person. Like, I don't like many things that I've made, but that doesn't mean that they're bad. It just means that I'm different. You know what I mean? Because at one point I did like them. And some of our songs I didn't like, or I liked them when we made them, and then I stopped liking them, and then now I like them again. So it just, like, I don't know. It's impossible to predict.
You said getting in your own way. And I think that's something that's nice about this band is like Kareem and Tyler a lot of times will come in really good bones. And then we all start playing it together or whatever. Matt does something on the bass. Dale does a drum fill. And it's like you see everybody's head start nodding. It's like, oh, yeah, that's it. There it is.
Yeah, we lock in.
Yeah.
It feels really good when that happens too. Like, and sometimes it's like practice. Sometimes it's just like when we're listening to the songs on our phones. But once it is, once everyone throws their own sauce on it, like the song feels complete. You know, it never is complete between Tyler and I. It's always just like the beginnings of something.
The last song, actually, from
Baby, I Could Never Win.
Baby, I Could Never Win. The other song we wanted to play here today. That was one, kind of a perfect example of that. Like, I had a very rough thing. You pretty much spat out the verse and chorus.
It was freestyled.
We looped it, then brought it to the band. But like the way the drums are, the bass part, the way the guitars lay together, that all happened kind of in a practice room. Like Dale had the part or like thought of a completely different approach. And like that made the song special. And I remember that in particular when we were in the room, like, oh, like here it happened.
But then that one also, before we tracked it, we played it live in that basement at the church. And I accidentally screwed up the bridge. Where I dropped out,
that's
remember?
Right, that's
and we were like, that was tight.
Yeah.
Like, I played it wrong because we hadn't solidified it yet. And everyone was like, should just keep messing it up like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's all happy accidents until it feels right.
Wait, I want to hear more about that. You were playing a live show in the basement of a church?
Yeah, what's that place called?
It's literally just a church.
It was like a soccer-themed...
Yeah, it was like, Lake Keep.
Yeah.
That guy Lake Keep.
But it was like DJs and...
It was a party.
Yeah, it was a big party. It was a party
in a basement.
A reclaimed church that's now like a venue. I can't remember the name of it.
All of Matt's demons were in the mosh pit.
Oh yeah, Gymnopedia.
Gymnopedia.
Yeah.
A Gymnopedia. Phoenix song.
Stay tuned, everybody, for Gymnopedia. Okay, so I do want to hear a little bit about, because like Tyler mentioned, it's a perfect segue. Our last song that we're going to hear is Baby, I Can Never Win. I love the album art for this. And like when you are listening to it on Spotify, there's like a video that plays on repeat of you walking down the sidewalk with a Joe's pizza box and all the pizza is just falling out of it, which feels like the most apt image for like a bad day in New York. So tell me about Baby, I Could Never Win. What was the process like? Where did this one come from?
I'll talk about the album art first because it's really, really special. So I've known this photographer, and Dale also knows him, Brian Carlson, for a long time. And he did like my baby bump pictures with my wife. And he'd had this idea for like 3 years about like he wanted to take one picture of me as like a businessman holding a box of pizza with the pizza falling out. Literally, we tried to schedule it for 3 years. And I was like, oh, it's Sunday, it's lazy, oh, it's raining. Oh, like we just kept delaying it. And then after the song was made, we were like, this is the perfect album cover for the song. And so Brian Carlson, Voyeur One on Instagram, really great photographer. And he also did the artwork for New Year, New York, that album cover. And I think he'll probably do the rest and build like a world around his photos.
It's also important to note the end of the EP, we have a voicemail from him about that. That is our photographer, Brian, who was sent the voicemail to Dale about watching a guy wash his hands with ginger ale.
Yeah, I met him through street photography. I used to do a lot of that, and he's one of my favorite photographers of all time. He's an incredible street photographer, and yeah, he sends me voice memos all the time of interesting things he sees on the street, or you know, surreal things. I consider him a surrealist, and washing your hands with ginger ale is pretty weird.
And that's ginger ale outro, which we were like, let's put the voice note on the album because it's funny and like a nice call out to Brian. But then Matt, who's a savant, sat on the piano and just did that thing. It just sounded awesome. Matt?
Thanks, Kareem.
No problem, Matt.
Well, so when we were in the studio doing the EP, there was a piano in the studio. And the guys just had me sit down and try to do an instrumental version. One thing led to another. I don't know, we did like a take of it or something, and then it was like a thing that was like a goof that ended up on the record.
It's really beautiful.
You were on the piano to add parts to Baby, I Can Never Win for piano, which we didn't end up using. Then you started just doing the like Layla outro style thing, and Dale is in the other room being like, I have an idea, and then played the voice memo while you were like vamping, and we're like, oh, this is it.
And yeah, the song was just literally like how I was feeling. Again, that one moment. Like, I was in the studio with Tyler. He played the guitar thing. I just started singing, and literally those things came out of my mouth, and I was feeling that way because of, I don't even know, like, it was just one of those days where I felt like I couldn't win. And it was just, like, one of the easier songs, I think, that took not a lot of effort to write, at least lyrically, because it just was ready to be said.
Yeah.
And so there was, like, minor tweaking. I think we had to write the second verse, but I think the first verse and the chorus was just available, which is a really nice gift from the man above.
Yeah. Well, before we listen to it, is there anything I didn't ask you guys about that you want to talk about before we hear Baby, I Could Never Win?
Joe has web toes.
My toes are normal.
Different question. If you could have one physical alteration that would give you a special skill, what would you do?
That's the weirdest question I've ever heard. Okay, so I would like the, like underneath my armpits, I'd like there to be extra skin so I could kind of glide.
Like a
like
sugar glider.
A flying
glider.
Squirrel, yeah.
Love it.
I'll take that.
Tyler?
I'd pee out of my finger.
That's...
Okay.
You don't have to go to the bathroom. You're just like, you got a little cup.
Wait, have you known this? Have you thought about this?
I've thought about
clearly.
It. Okay. No, I thought about this. Like, I think the question my friends always had was like, if you could have a worthless superpower, uh-huh. And I'd be like, oh, I'd be pee finger. Next question.
I can't believe Tyler took mine. I was just... he knows that that's the only thing I've cared about as a bit for several years, but...
It would be sensible to have another arm so I can play more drums.
Yeah. Okay.
That's sick. Yeah. That is cool. Yeah.
But I would want to hide it most of the time.
Okay.
Like
that's
a retractable
cool.
third arm.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be like an arm location. It could be coming like off my hip.
Do you think it would be the same length as your other arms or like a shorter or longer? We don't know.
Well, in this world, anything's possible.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Joe?
I would get LASIK surgery. I would save literally hundreds of dollars on contact lenses every single year.
You know what? That's
good luck.
That's within the realm of possibility, and I love it. You guys, this was very fun. Thank you so much for coming up to the Bronx. Thank you for coming and playing some songs for us and chatting, and thank you for the good time. This was definitely one of our funnier, more fun interviews.
Oh,
it was a blast.
Great.
We're going to close it out with Baby, I Could Never Win. Make sure that you go and listen to Kareem Rama and Tiny Gun's EP. Stay tuned for more singles dropping, maybe another EP, maybe a full length, maybe some New York City shows. This is Kareem Rama and Tiny Gun for FUV Live Sessions with Baby, I Could Never Win.
There's something lurking in the sheets. They'll write a movie about us. You let me in, I'll shut you out. But very slowly, all at once. For what it's worth, I try to fight. I'm love with someone else. If you believe me, you'll never leave me. It'll be something like that. Something like, and baby, I could never win. Baby, I could never win. Baby, I could never win. Baby, I could never. Something I don't know. I've seen it time and time again, a thousand times. I don't want anyone else. If you believe me, you'll never leave me. It'll be something like that. It's something like, and baby, I could never win. Baby, I could never win. Baby, I could never win. Baby, I could never. And baby, I could never win. Baby, I could never win. Baby, I could never win. Baby, I could never. Baby, I could never win. Baby, I could never win. Baby, I could never win. Baby, I could never. And baby, I could never win. Baby, I could never win. Baby, I could never win. Baby, I could never.
That was Kareem Rama and Tiny Gun performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to Kareem and Tiny Gun for joining us in our studio to play some songs and chat. A special thanks to Vanessa Silberman and A Diamond Heart Production. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Matthew Ellersick, and Sophia Derrick Palumbo. Our FUV Live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara, and our associate producers for this episode were Bayan Menjering and Cadiz Salazar. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date wherever you get your podcasts, and so you can listen to new episodes and maybe even find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you like what you hear, please make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. You can also catch audio and video of this session and all other FUV Live sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm Megan Suma, your executive producer, who also just so happened to host this episode. Thanks for listening.